This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV. Till I die.
Right, Chris.
Alrighty. Good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello, depending wherever you are in the world, welcome along. Have you calmed down yet? I haven't. Not at all. But then after the last, 5, 6, 7 weeks, I've kind of God, let's just enjoy it while it happens, because we don't know what's going to happen in the next game. But welcome along. This is the preview show. Just advertising there. Something we've got coming up. Trying it a little bit new. Two fans down the pub. Literally, we will be down the pub talking absolute nonsense right from the get-go, although it'll probably get worse when we have a few pints. And thank you very much to my local who are supplying us some free pints on the night. So God knows where it will end up. But that starts in a couple of weeks' time. 14th of May, I do believe. And a lot of people have been asking, because obviously the two matches that have got coming up Friday night and Saturday night will affect our game on Monday night. We could actually, before we even kick a ball off, against Preston on Monday night, be promoted if, and it's a big if, I think, if QPR can beat Leeds. But look, it's been such an absolutely silly season. Who knows what will happen? And what we're going to do is tomorrow night, I've only just decided this about 10 minutes ago, which is why I was a little bit late, and apologies. I'm going to be doing a watch along for the QPR versus Leeds. And tonight, Matthew, as they say, I am going to be a QPR fan. And then on Saturday night, you guessed it, we're going to be doing a watch along for Hull Ipswich. Because again, depending how the scores go, that might get us celebrating. Oh, and yes, Monday night, obviously, we have a little game. Preston hosting Leicester City. If we get, I mean, whatever happens in the other two games, if we get 3 points on Monday night, we will be promoted. And I don't care. I'd love to go up as champions and just do one more than Man City. But at this point now, it's just a case of I just want to go up. And I've got to be honest with you, I love Preston North End. I used to live in Burnley for 20-odd years, and I had four kids. And the Leicester game was always, I think they classed it as a family game, and it was kids for a pound. And when you got four kids, that is a hell of a saving. And we used to have a good day out, because they used to have the museum there as well until they decided for some reason to move it to Manchester. But the FA Museum was at Deepdale for many, many a year. And it was nice just to pop in and have a look at it. But let's get on with today's show, which is that preview of Monday's game. And, well, look, where would I be without my wise old owl? Craig, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Chris. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here after a win.
Yes. Is that your excited face? Because he doesn't look any different.
Hey. I was there, so I had excitement written all over me for the next 24 hours. I was walking back to the car and with Scott, and just saying, I couldn't stop just saying wow, yes. To be honest. Yeah.
Best game of the season? Not the best game, the best performance of the season?
I think in many ways, I know Enzo didn't say it was, but it was almost like we'd got a bit of our old Leicester back, you know. It had that kind of feel about it, that we were playing quicker, we were playing more direct when we needed to try and exploit the opposition. Everything that we'd been asking for, you know, it was like an old Leicester performance. So sit back, let them have the ball, 64% possession or something, and then just go and score five goals.
Yeah, exactly. Hello to everybody. I've got to say, to Adele, I always like saying it's Adele. Hello. Is your hello, Adele? Is it, yeah, all right, move on. Shall I move on? Funnily enough, that was the reaction I got off Brad when I did it when I was on the show with him. Ben, sorry, Chris, it's just wishful thinking if you think QPR beat Leeds. I expect Leeds to win. I predicted a Leeds win, but look, I live in hope. Come on, Rangers. Yes, indeed. And Doug is in. Good evening, Doug. How are you? But look, we are playing, Preston. Whoopsie-daisy. Let me just, if I can find the right one, I will actually, there we go. Bring him in, our guest for this evening. We've been waiting patiently in the green room. But Ollie, good evening, Ollie. How are you?
Yeah, good evening, Chris and Craig. How are you both?
Good, thanks. We are good. We are really, really good.
Before we get cracking into this, Ollie, I've got a question for you. And I apologies if you've been asked this a million times or the answer's been on this show before. What's the provenance of the Preston badge with the symbols that are on it, and why is there a PP?
So PP stands for Proud Preston. And it's been pretty much the city's emblem logo. I believe it's pronounced for something else, but obviously as Prestonians, you know, you try and make your own jargon up. But it stands for Proud Preston, and it's been the city's motto for God knows how long. And obviously they thought they'd replicate it on the badge because you know, being from Preston, I think. Besides, obviously, a couple of Liverpool and United fans within Preston, the majority of Preston are proud of their club, so the PP goes on there.
Cool. And what's with the is it the sheep and a cross and?
Yeah, it's a lamb. It's a lamb, okay, with a cross, and it's just the I think it's the city's. I can't remember the right word for it, but it's
is it like the city's crest or whatever?
The crest. Yeah. It's the city's crest that's been there for ages, so they've just incorporated it up all in one. I think it's a really nice badge, actually.
Yeah. It's different. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be just the sheep and then Preston North End in like a like triangle shape, but they've done really well the badge, and I think they've stuck to it well.
Well, let's hope for one night only that you are lambs to the slaughter.
Oh, you made me do it. Oh, great.
Sorry.
I dragged him down to my level. I can remember when you would not have come out with that when I first met you. I'm too nice. I let him go first, and he was in there straight away. You know, but yes, I can say I remember all those years when we were in the championship and we were like the bottom feeders towards the bottom of the league, Craig. Always used to go along to the, because I lived in Burnley, Preston only just down the road, and a very, 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 very friendly club. Look, I've even written lamb down, ready to go, lamb to the floor. Oh, you're going to struggle later on the on the quiz. Stuart is in as well. Hi, Stuart. Dan James is out for Leeds. Jamie says, never noticed the PP before. What's the cross? There's the cross.
The cross?
Yeah, the cross.
It's holding, I believe it's holding a flag.
Oh, is it a flag?
I believe it's a flag. I'm going to zoom in myself as well, but it does
look like a cross. Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the cross with like a flag on the end.
Yeah. Well, I've just zoomed in and it definitely is a. Yes, it's a cross, but with a flag on the end.
If anybody's just tuning in and just watching three people online peering as closely as they can to the screen.
welcome along to Badges Through the Ages.
Yeah.
Does anybody ever watch, what's that thing, The Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
And it's it does that show, whatever it's called, Flag Show or something. Nice. This is the bad show. Alan from Burnley, talking about Burnley earlier. Thank you, sir. Can Burnley do the great escape? I think it's there. This is a good possibility. Look, it's not over till the fat lady sings, and I've locked her in the cupboard beneath the stairs, so we should be all right tonight. Sorry, Craig, I'll let your wife out later. I didn't say that. I was joking, Craig. I'll get you back for pinching my jokes. but no, thank you, Alan. You're a gentleman. Thank you very much. And John is in as well. Right, let's start and talk about this gentleman, if we can. Oh, sorry, Ollie, very remiss of me. Do give everybody a shout. I'll put your links in the description below, but just give everybody a shout as to where they can find you.
Yeah, so my name's Ollie. I'm the host of the Butter Pie Podcast. Quite a unique name regarding, obviously, a football podcast. We're a Preston North End related podcast. And obviously, for all you Leicester listeners, if you want to hear a slight bit of bitterness after Monday nights, just pop on over to your reputable podcast streaming sites, or on Spotify, Apple Music, whichever. Or if you just want to have a little look on Twitter, we're at the Butter Pie Pod.
Brilliant. Ryan Lowe, been there since December 2021.
Yeah.
One thing that strikes me about Preston, and like I say, I don't have any beef with Preston at all. I like Preston as a club. But you seem to do the same thing every single year. I mean, you always have a good start, and you're always there or thereabouts. And then mid-season-ish, you tend to fall off the ladder. Are you happy with Ryan? But he seems to have done the same this season.
I mean, there's been slight progression every year with Ryan Lowe, and he's come out in the press recently. Obviously, for the last couple of games, we've been abysmal, and we've just totally fallen off a cliff. But he's come out in the press today because obviously there's nothing to play for, saying that next season's the do or die for Ryan Lowe. He even mentioned it himself. So, you know, he's been building up a big game. But it's the same every season with Preston North End. We always like to build our hopes up, and then we've got nothing to play for the next five or six games, and it just peters out every single time. But, you know, you've got to trust in the process. We are getting marginally better, even if it's like 1 or 2 points every season. I just hope we're able to make the bigger jump in the near future.
It would. I've got to say, just a quick one. Yeah, I've got to say, I mean, we've put in some pretty abysmal performances from time to time this season. But I'm sorry to say it, you guys away at Southampton, that was an absolute shocker.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. I thought, and to be fair, if Southampton didn't, you know, put the foot off the gas, but realistically, they never came out of first gear.
No.
If they put the foot to the floor, it could have been 6-7.
Mm.
We were abysmal. And I feel like it's just a mixture of, you know, the manager's sticking to the same formation, sticking to the same players, and defensively we're not good enough. And then creativity-wise, you know, we don't have a designated right wing-back when we're playing, you know, a system that revolves around wing-backs. So, you know, when you're having to put a 5'6" Dwayne Holmes, who's clearly not defensively ready at right wing-back, you know, you're always going to cause trouble against, you know, players that are way above, you know, championship level in Stuart Armstrong, Che Adams, and, you know, Adam Armstrong.
Mm. Well, having said that, Southampton weren't that good the other night. But I have to say, it would be nice to see Preston back up in the top tier again. You know, one of the oldest clubs around. Mm. And talking about oldest things around, Craig, I mean, we're playing Preston, as Ollie has just said. Absolutely nothing to play for. Obviously, they're not going down. Their chances of playoffs have gone. We win, we're promoted. Whatever happens in the two games leading up to that, a win will see us promoted. And yes, it would be nice to go up as champions, as I said earlier in the season, and get the record. All about going up now. Does that make it harder for us because Preston have nothing to play for?
No, I think, I mean, they can go one or two ways, can't they? They can play with freedom that it doesn't really count for anything. You know, they're playing top of the league team, so they want to come out and show something for the home fans. Let me go back into my little pot of cliches. It's a free swing, isn't it? You know, they literally have got nothing to lose, nothing to win, really, other than the kudos of the fans. You know, I assume it's your last home game of the season, Ollie?
Yeah, last home game of the season.
So, yeah, you want to go out with a decent performance, I would have thought. Yeah. So that could be tricky. When it comes to it, though, if it gets into a tough game, you know, a physical game, you know, and we're really at it, then it's difficult to raise your levels when there's nothing on it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think the team will come out, Ollie? I mean, we'll come on to obviously tactics later, but nothing to play for.
Yeah, I mean, as Craig put it, you know, it's practically a free swing. Realistically, they can go out and play their own game. Really, I think what Ryan Lowe will probably say to the lads is, you know, show me something. You know, show me that you want to be here next season. Probably. The only thing going our way is, obviously, as it's our last home game of the season, we've got Captain Alan Brown, who's played over 400 appearances for us, who's out of contract in the summer. And there's been this huge debacle, whether he's staying or he's going. He's been offered a fresh deal. You know, he's been clearly our best player this season, bar a few. And the contract's been put on the table. He's not signed it as of yet, and he's been given a deadline. So apparently we still won't know on Monday night if he's going to be signing, but it could potentially be our captain's, who's, you know, a living legend at a club, his last game at Deepdale. So, you know, if the players do know about that and they want to put on a show for Alan, who knows? It's going to be, it's just going to be a free swing for all of them. But, you know, as things go, Leicester have got so much quality, and you know, if you start conceding one or two, even with a free swing, you know, it may get a bit.
Depends which Leicester turn up, though, doesn't it, Craig? You know, because
our away form, and I know you'll show home and away form. I, you know, our away form has been abysmal recently. Unless you love binary scorelines, we're just not been at it. But hopefully now, you know, that winning at Southampton must have filled them with confidence that it's within touching distance now, and they can have that moment. It'd be really nice, obviously, for us, because if they can get the job done against Preston on Monday night, they go into the last game of the season knowing that the Championship trophy is on the line. So I think that would be the thought process. Get one job done and then, you know, hopefully see it through and lift a trophy at the end of next
season. I have criticised both Leeds and Coventry fans. I know you find that hard to believe, but I have. In the past week, the way they celebrated when they beat us. But I think our lads were sort of celebrating and popping the corks on the pitch after that win. And did you see the video that, I don't know who it was that took it, one of the players, I'm guessing, in the dressing room?
I did.
Greg.
I did. I think there was a lot of relief, though, on that. You know, everybody coming into that Southampton game, manager, players, fans in particular, I didn't speak to any fan who was confident going into that game of getting a win, let alone a 5-0. So I think that was just everything coming out there, all the weeks and weeks of frustration, even when we've been winning games, Norwich, Birmingham, West Brom, you know, we were just scraping the wins there. So I think this was like, you know, everything, all of those weeks of frustration coming out there. And I think the players just enjoyed the moment.
And I think anybody who questions Enzo, just look at the way he was joining in the celebration.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we'll see Enzo on Strictly Come Dancing next season. Who knows? Who knows? He's done what he's been asked to do, Enzo. So, not, you know, sometimes it's been a little bit boring, but you know, is winning ever boring?
I mean, just finally on there before you move on, Chris, I think in many ways you probably got a view of what next season would be like, and the fact that we're going to go in, if we go up, I won't say when, but if we go up, we're going to be playing teams that virtually every week we have 35% possession. But it just showed how dangerous we could be with 35% possession, playing quickly, playing on the break, much like we did when we won the championship. So it was good to see that in those kinds of games, we can find a way to win as well and win in style.
Indeed. And talking of winning in style, 3-0 last time we met, Ollie. I don't know if you went to the game at all.
No. I didn't make the trip. I try to steer away from places that I can tell that we're going to get an absolute hammering. You know, I didn't make the trip down to Southampton because obviously we know, and good job I didn't. But yeah, it is. When you obviously go into the King Power, I've been before. 10 years ago or so, when I think it was what David Nugent was playing up top for you. So I've been to the stadium before, but I just, you know, when you know you're going to go get absolutely pumped by a team of a higher quality, sometimes
you just have to. But then you were in the playoffs. I think you'd been top a few weeks before, and you've obviously watched the game on highlights and what have you. And I have to say, and I don't mean this horribly, but I was very disappointed in your performance, given where you were.
I think the way, coming off the start of the season, it's a bit weird, actually, because we had quite a lot of injuries at the start of the season, so it kind of forced the manager to play a certain style of football, and hence why you see, you know, the results of the way they were, where, you know, you're not conceding many goals, but you're also not scoring many goals as well. So it kind of just consolidated us to this one way of playing football to, you know, probably limit harm. But it worked out for some point in the end up. But obviously when you come up against teams of real quality and you can, you know, beat past the low block that you're having to put out, you know, once one goal goes in and you have to come out and try and play actual football, you know, the quality of Leicester against Preston North End, it's like chalk and cheese. So, you know, the way that we've got to play is like the way we've got to play on Monday. You know, we've got to just hope that we frustrate you and nick a 1-0. But if you go and score one early doors, then, you know, we've got to open up and you'll pick us apart.
Craig, I'm sure you were there for that game. Since we're all getting a brace, this might be his last away game for Leicester City.
I think there's every chance, you know, maybe as much as he'd like to stay if we get promoted. I think he's not going to be short of offers. And sadly, I think the club need to get some money in to try and stave off the worst of the financial points deduction that we're going to get. So I can see it'd be like one of those, you know, neither party wants to really move on. But I think it's inevitable in many ways because he's one of our most saleable assets. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think we've got these hopefully two games left of the season, and that might be it for KDH.
And I mean, in fairness, he's not asked to move, but then Barnes never asked for a move. Madison never asked for a move. So, well, not, you know, when players don't ask for a move, but then do move on, you can't really have a go at them because, you know, they moved on before the two other players, because, you know, financial reasons of just getting relegated.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think he felt it, you know, being a local lad, you know, coming up, Leicestershire lad, I think he felt it hard, that relegation last season. You know, so very early when he was being linked with teams, I think he was being linked in the January window with the likes of Brighton. So, yeah, but he seemed like he wanted to try and put it right. And yeah, apart from the odd game here and there, I don't think anybody can say that he hasn't put everything in to try and get us back up to the Premier League. But I think, yeah, he'll have opportunities to move on to bigger and better things.
I think so. Having said that, Madison went to Spurs, so you could question whether that's bigger and better or not. But you were there, and what were your thoughts on Preston in that game?
Probably similar to what you just said there. You know, Preston came after a fantastic start to the season. I'm not sure if you were still top or second or something, but you were up there. You'd had a great start, playing decent football, and like most people, I think, at that point, you know, it was a little bit disappointing from our perspective. But well, I say disappointing, you know, we put in a decent performance, but I think everybody expected a little bit more from you. And I think it, from that point, whether it knocked your confidence of the players of what you were really up against when the so-called bigger teams started to kick into gear, then it did start going downhill a little bit. But, you know, where you are now, you know, I would imagine that you would probably have taken something similar. Yeah, you know, best performers would be trying to get, you know, nicking into those players at the end of the season. But you can't be overly critical, I guess, but it becomes like the frustration of this being the story every season.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the story of every season, as you mentioned, Craig. You know, Preston North End's main opportunities, nabbing a sixth place every year, and then I think as everyone knows, if you get into the playoffs, it's a three game season. You know, it's a pot roulette. So, you know, you look at the teams that have gone up. You know, especially Luton, who have a budget of like ourselves, because I'm not beating around the bush. We've got, you know, I think like a bottom five budget and wage expenditure. So, you know, we're having to tread carefully around how we, you know, use the market. We're not going to be able to go and give someone 100 grand a week, alike, you know, someone like yourself.
Can we these days? You
know? but yeah, it's every North End stream to sneak into the sixth place. And then, as I mentioned, you know, to Pot Roulette once you get in there, three-game season. And I think the last time we got into the Championship playoffs was 2005, when we got beaten by West Ham in the final.
I mean, you can see there that that's your season. And like you say, you could put the last five, six, seven, eight, nine, however many seasons you want to, over the top. Wouldn't look a lot different.
No, it'd look exactly the same. Well, the end product would look exactly the same, really. It just always in the middle.
But you had had a good start. I mean, look, you can see the arrow there showing where you played Leicester. You had been top. You were still comfortably in the playoffs at that stage, in third. And then after that, yes, you had a bit of a dip, but you got back up into the playoffs. And I think it was during that sort of period where the bottom two in the playoffs, fifth and sixth, seemed to change every week. Somebody was in, then they'd drop out, then they'd come back in. It did kind of, well, it was, I suppose the Southampton went lost, you did drop down quite a way. So you got back up. But I think it was Cardiff, was it, your after Blackburn, that was sort of your last game there.
Yes, I mean, it was Swansea, actually.
It was Swansea.
And it was at the stage where Ryan Lowe was on his last tenure, and we were like, you know, 99% of the fan base wanted him gone. And then the dreaded club statement, "We're backing our manager," comes out, which means we're backing you, but, you know, if you perform badly in the next two or three games, you're gone. And then he's picked it up. You know, it's like a new manager bounce where, you know, he thinks he's losing his job, so we turn up for the next two or three games, and then, you know, he's pretty much safe for another 10, 15 games. The run that we had in the middle of the season, you know, I think we picked up like 5 wins in 23 games, which is abysmal form, and especially not a form that you expect of someone challenging for the playoffs. So it was that rust that really obviously brought us to where we are today. And then obviously the last five.
I think you can see it there in the figures. Winning 18, but losing 17.
Yeah, we're so it's like, we're like a Big Dipper, just up and down, up and down, up and down. And it's the story of North End every season.
It does seem to be, unfortunately. But looking at the last five, Craig, I'm pleased to say that if we take the form overall, and this is just on the last five, that Leicester are second and Preston North End are 23rd. I mean, form means absolutely nothing at the end of the day. As somebody, Brian Clough, I think it was, once said, you know, I picked a good team on paper, but unfortunately we played on grass. But if you look at the actual Preston's home form, it's slightly better than our away form.
Yeah, I mean, as I said earlier, you know, our away form has been shoddy, shall we say. It's been very disappointing. But the frustrating thing is, you know, we've had performances where we've created enough chances to win every game we've been in. And that was the frustrating thing. On Tuesday night, we were just clinical. You know, some of those goals were just fantastic. Oh, they were all... I don't think you could say that the keeper had a chance with any of those five goals, really. You know, they were all
top. Maybe if he kept his leg shut for Ndidi's header.
Yeah, I mean, he was about 4 yards away from him, and you do the classic of heading it down. But I don't think, you know, they were all very good goals. Although, obviously, you know, Southampton chose to have a bit of a vout-farce approach to defending, like just back off and have as much space as you want. But I think, yeah, our away form has been really poor. But, you know, they've got something to play for now. I would expect something a lot better than we've shown in the last few games away.
Looking there at yours, Ollie, I mean, all right, yeah, so you drew with Watford. You beat Huddersfield, which I guess you would expect to.
Yeah.
Norwich, that was a tight game, I'm presuming, because it was only 1-0. Southampton, we've discussed. Last time out, Queen's Park Rangers beating you 1-0. I mean, you cost me 3 points there in the prediction league because I went for a Preston win. Those are games that can define your season, because that's a game, really. I know Queen's Park Rangers are fighting for their life, but it's a game that, again, you would have looked at and would have thought you should have won that one.
Yeah, I think it's massively on having something to play for. The last game against QPR, we knew that we had nothing to play for. I think Southampton, yeah, if we managed to get a win in there, then maybe you're still in with a potluck. But after the Norwich game, obviously, them being in sixth place, that was a real six-pointer. Obviously, coming away from that, we were shocking against Southampton. I felt like the players knew that they weren't getting anything for the rest of the season, and the QPR game was absolutely shocking. You could just tell that they were on the beach already. Feet up, lax performance. It's the tail end of every North End season. Once there's nothing to play for, the players don't have that spring in their step. They don't have the want or need to go and chase those first or second balls. And obviously those are vital in winning games of football. Once there's nothing to play for at North End, it just, you know, I think the players think, even the fans think, you know, what's really the point?
I mean, I don't read anything into this at all, Craig. But looking at Preston, they've scored 4, conceded 8. Conceded 6. We've scored 9. You can't really do too much out because 5 of those was in one game.
Yeah. No, you can't. You know, the Championship's unpredictable at best. So I think looking at any kind of form, any kind of goals, because anything can happen, you know. It is. I mean, they were talking about after the game. I don't know. Oh, you watched the game anyway, Chris, didn't you? So I know they had Neil Warnock and Nigel Pearson, as well as Joby McEnough. And Warnock was extolling the virtues of the Championship being the best league in the world, you know, because of how exciting and you just can't, unpredictable it is. And I think we've found that this season, that even when, you know, you're strolling along 17 points ahead at the top, it could all come crashing down pretty spectacularly.
Oh yes. There we go. But this is the table as it stands at the moment. Looking good. I mean, for us, Craig, it wasn't technically a must-win as such, but I think when you've got a game in hand, if you don't win it, then that advantage, and, you know, we were still favourites to go up because we had that game in hand. I wasn't confident going into it, so maybe I shouldn't be confident going into Preston, and then we might get something. But you look at that now, and it was an important win for us, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, like I can say, in so many ways, just keeping ourselves ahead, putting the pressure on the teams who have got to play after us. You know, we've played first quite a lot this season. You know, we played first against West Brom. You know, we were the first ones at another half 12 kickoff. We got the points on the board, which meant the rest had to play catch up, and we've done it again. So the teams below us, what we're showing here is that basically they can't afford a slip up. No. You know, or otherwise they're going to just, you know, Leeds and Ipswich are going to be.
This play to our advantage. Leeds playing tomorrow night, Saturday night Ipswich. We're not playing till Monday.
Yeah, we've got a bit more time to rest, to work on things. The fact is that even if both of them win, you know, it doesn't matter, because if we go and win our games, it's ours. So I think we can concentrate on the job in hand and just focus on one game, put everything into one game and try and get the result no matter what the other teams do.
Yes. 10th. Ollie, at the moment, you're going to end up mid-table somewhere, I would imagine. We talked about your manager before. Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around
to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Or is he the right manager to take you forward? I mean, you've got to be thinking now, with nothing to play for, you've got to, at this point, I think, start thinking about next season, haven't you?
Yeah. Realistically, I look at it two ways. In my mindset, you know, I want Preston North End to be challenging for the playoffs. I want us to be in much better each season. But is the grass always greener? You look at someone of, you know, Blackburn Rovers. They've got a fantastic. They've got a good enough squad to be, you know, potentially even pushing for playoffs, especially Sammy Smodics. And they've got a manager who's won, you know, what, three in like 12 games, which is abysmal form. So the way I look at it is, you know, he's had 2.5 seasons at the club. He's come out and said, you know, this is, you know, technically do or die. We've made progress every season. You can't defy at that. But he's made quite a bold statement in the press in terms of, you know, this is the season. So he's made it aware to the club. He's made it aware to the fans. He's made it very aware to the recruitment staff. In terms of, I'm guessing, what we need going into the summer. So hopefully it's a different looking Preston North End, especially in the defensive sector next season. But for me, I've just got to trust and see what he's got to do next season, because if it is do or die, you know, fingers crossed it's do rather than die.
Well, yeah, for you know. Craig, I mean, look, four teams there could end up on 90 plus points, but only two of them are guaranteed to go up. I mean, it's mad, isn't it? Absolutely mad.
Yeah, I'm gonna say one team is going to get 90 points and still be in the championship next season. That's you know, or even two of them, you know, to be honest.
It is
crazy. I mean, you know, we've been critical of Enzo, of the team, you know, because of the lead that we let slip. But when you look at the number of points we've put on the table, you know, it's only because it's been an extraordinary year with other teams doing just as well almost. Any other season with that number of points on the board, we'd be promoted by now, you know. So, we are being overly critical, but we're being overly critical based on the fact that there's three other teams who have had phenomenal seasons as well.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Ollie, what? I mean, looking at the game Monday night, what sort of formation, tactics, player threats would you say Preston are going to employ?
Yeah, so Preston always play three at the back. Notoriously, I always say it's five at the back because the wing backs are practically full backs at times. So we play with two wide centre halves in Andrew Hughes and Jordan Story, and obviously we have wing backs with one of our main players in Liam Miller, who's been out a bit this season. He's just come back from an injury, and we've really missed him, especially in terms of the creativity side. You know, he's fantastic in one on ones, and he's a real threat to look out for, especially on the counter-attack, because I'm not expecting us to have much of the ball. Another one to look out for is number 10, Mads Frocky Jensen. He's far too good for Preston North End. Brought him in from Odense in Denmark in the summer for about $1.2 million. And he's a £10 million player. There's not a chance in the world he should be playing for Preston North End. I'm not too sure if he's a very good player or he's just a good player in a very bad side. So it's one of those. They're the main players to look out for. Just fingers crossed we're able to actually get the ball to them and not have them chasing shadows for 90 minutes.
Well, talking of chasing shadows, Craig, and I think he was joking, Enzo said that Fatawu might not make the team for this game. I can't believe that, to be honest with you. I felt a bit, I mean, look, Choudhury had an amazing game against West Brom. Yeah. Probably better, it looked better than it probably was because of, you know, of the goal line clearances and what have you.
Yeah.
But obviously, I think if Ricardo's fit, he has to come back in. He's the better player, I think, in that sort of position. I just don't think you make changes, do you?
I think Choudhury will come back in for this one. I do. I think it would not surprise me as well if McAteer doesn't start instead of Fatawu. Just to keep those two players fresh, one for the last game of the season at Blackburn, when it may all come down to that. Promotion may come down to that. Winning the title may come down to that. Plus, if he has them on the bench, he can use them if he needs them. It would not surprise me to see at least Pereira back on the bench and Choudhury back in the team.
I mean, do you remember when we beat Liverpool back at, I nearly said Filbert Street then, at the KP? Choudhury had an amazing game and Rodgers came off blowing smoke up his arse. Yeah. Choudhury was never, ever seen again on the pitch in a Leicester shirt and went out on loan to Watford the next season. But that says all you need to know about Brendan Rodgers. I've got to say to Enzo, who was also blowing smoke up Choudhury's arse after the West Brom game, he has at least been back on the pitch. I've got to disagree with that, because I think for me, don't worry about the Blackburn game yet, because if we can beat Preston, that is, if you like, a free hit, you know.
I get that, but and no disrespect to Ollie to Preston. A team with a couple of changes should still be good enough to beat Preston. You know, the team that beat West Brom should be good enough to beat Preston. I don't think it's like you're coming up, you know, you're going away to Leeds or, again, no disrespect, but Switch or something like that.
It's only just good enough to beat West Brom, though.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, if you're putting West Brom and Preston in the same, you know, at the same level, then I suggest you haven't been watching the last few weeks. West Brom were by far and away the best team that have been down to the King Power in the second half of the season, you know, by a long shot. And I would not want to get them in the playoffs. I spoke to a Norwich fan last night, and I said they're the ones to avoid, not Southampton. West Brom, for me, are the team to avoid in there. So I think if you bring McAteer in, yes or no, could go either way. But I don't think bringing Choudhury in for Pereira, you know, weakens us that much that it should affect the result, to be honest. And I would rather, you know, let's face it. Yes, we can do this now, but you can have Pereira in this game, risk him for an injury, not get the result you want, and then you need the result against Blackburn. I would rather have him 100% rested, ready for Blackburn, whether we need it for the promotion or whether we need it to win the title.
And looking at the two games, you've got to say, on paper again, Blackburn should be the easier of the two games.
Well, indeed, you know, we can't argue with the last two games of the season that we've got, you know. You know, when you look at some of the teams that the others have got, you know, they've got teams who are still going for to try and nudge their way into the playoffs. So I think it's worked out pretty well for us. And, you know, I said before that I thought 4 points might be enough for us. So we've got three of those. I think even a couple of draws in these games, you know, would see us over the line. But, you know, I would be confident going into the Blackburn game, even if we didn't get anything out of this Preston.
And Ipswich have got three games in a week because they've got the game against Coventry, haven't they?
Yeah.
To play Hull, which won't be easy, and Huddersfield. Well,
Hull is still looking at that last spot. So, and they're on a decent run of form, Hull. That will not be an easy game.
Yeah. Now then, we did mention this earlier, and I have renamed this now the Howard Wilkinson Trophy. but we'll go to Ollie first. Being at both, I'm sure you can name a few.
Yeah. Are we doing one at a time, or are we just naming it?
No, just go for it. I know. I'll bring mine up at the end.
Okay. I, t- I won't do too many. I'll go with two because I don't want to spoil the rest. A player that I don't want to see on Monday night, especially. He's not played much this season, but Thomas Cannon played at both.
Yeah.
And then obviously another one that I just mentioned earlier before, a certain David Nugent. And I'll give you one more, Paul Gallagher as well.
Yes, yeah. I had forgotten, I'll tell you, it's not Cannon. I had forgotten all about Cannon. While you mention him, let's just come back, because he's not getting into our team at the moment.
Send him back.
You had him last season, and you wanted him again, didn't you, in fairness?
Yeah, yeah. I think, I'll put it out there, it was heavily rumoured, and I think it was actually confirmed that, you know, Preston North End's transfer record is 1.5 million for David Healy back in 2001. And we went out there and bid 6 million for Tom Cannon, which is just completely out the water. We wanted him. We wanted him back. So he was superb last season. Fantastic striker. You know, I'd have put him on the same level as Cameron Archer when he was at North End. You know, obviously he went on to sign for Sheffield United for 20 million from Villa. I just can't understand why he's not getting the game time at Leicester. You know, he's a superb, superb player. A clinical goal scorer. He's quick, he's powerful. He's probably everything that you want in a striker. But, you know, if you do get promoted, you know, just make sure you give him a nice little return to deep down next season.
I think he's not been getting a game, but mainly because he's behind one of the Premier League legends.
Yeah.
And Zambia's number three striker. So, you know, he's never going to get a name.
I'm going to ask you this because before I get and take your choices, Craig, Zambia's number three striker. I didn't know he was that high, to be honest with you. I mean, people do have this thing that I seem to love Daka. I think he did a good job for us before AFCON when he was called upon. His confidence is absolutely shot at the moment. You know, literally, it's the barn door banjo situation with him. But Vardy's going to start because, you know, he's going to have been literally, you know, a week since we last played when we played this game, less one day. So he's going to start again. And quite, it just goes on. And we're talking about if we can sign anybody next season, we're on about giving him an extension, I think. And why not? You know what I mean? He'll probably still be doing it when he's 50. But as much as I the thing I feel with Daka is he gets over criticized. You know,
because... No, I agree. I was talking about this just today, Chris, and quoting you, where you were saying that he gets overly criticized for the same things where Jamie seems to get away with it. Jamie misses two sitters against Bristol. And it's nowhere near as much of the stick that Daka's got for the same kind of thing. So I know where you're coming from, Chris. I personally would like to see Cannon start against Preston, because I would imagine that he'd be up for it, you know.
Yeah.
So it would be great, and it's an ideal game for him, but sadly I just can't see it happening.
I mean, Vardy won't play the full 90, probably. Right. You know, the past, you know, games, it's, you know, he got up to either 60, 70, 80, whenever, and he's come off. Daka comes on. And I suppose with Daka, it's his speed. You know, you're playing against tired defenders at that time.
This is work, right, I think, yeah.
And if nothing else, you know, he'll you know, close players down and close the keeper down. But I would like to see Cannon come on.
Yeah.
Right. So we have three there from Ollie, with Cannon, with Gallagher, and with Nugent. Who would you think I might have gone?
Yeah, I mean, he's taken two of the ones that I thought of, to be honest. I thought you'd go down with Gallagher and Nugent, and I would be very surprised if it's not David Nugent, given the little smile that you gave earlier in the programme when he was mentioned.
Did I? That was wind. I have to say, I almost went for Paul Gallagher, one of my favourite players of all time. I've never interviewed him, but I have interviewed his wife. She's a very nice lady. Don't ask about it. No, it was for a charity. I used to love his penalties. I don't know if he was still doing them at the... I can't believe he must have been about 50 still playing for you, Ollie.
I think he finished playing when he was about 39. But yeah, he still did the same penalty routine where he stands back against the ball and runs and smashes it.
Yes, but it wasn't Thomas Cannon either. It was Wind, I'm afraid, because it's not David Nugent.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Simon Grayson.
It's funny because I thought of him earlier this afternoon, but I discounted him when I saw who else played for us. And I mean, Ollie's looking like there that he can barely remember Simon Grayson playing for him.
No, he didn't. He didn't play for. I don't think he was a manager.
Yeah, you've gone down the manager route again. Of course.
Yeah.
It's been at both. He's not played for both. It's been at both. You see, Howard Wilkinson, number two. He did all right for you, didn't he, Ollie?
Yeah, he did fairly well. I think to be fair, majority of managers that come in, you know, Simon Grayson, Alex Neil, and now Ryan Lowe, still continuing to get those mid-table finishes. He did fairly well. He did fantastically well getting us promoted from League One, Simon Grayson, but then obviously decided to try and take Sunderland, who were relegated from the Premier League at the time, to try and take him back up. Obviously didn't go down too well for him because it was back-to-back relegations. To be fair, with North End managers who do have two or three seasons that we give them, we're always here, we're always in mid-table, so they always do a fairly decent job.
Yeah. Craig, your memories of something, he's holding the League Cup there. Or is it the playoff trophy? I think it's the League Cup, isn't it?
It might be the... Yeah, I'm not sure, actually.
I'm not sure which one it is. But great. I mean, one of my favourite Leicester players.
Yeah, no. You know when you get certain players that you know, they could be a 9-1 week, a 4 the next. We've got plenty of those in the squad at the minute. Grayson was always a 7. You know, he was like the Mark Albrighton of his time. He was always going to put you in a solid performance, always pop up with an important goal. I can't remember if it was a playoff semi or it may have been the League Cup semi away at Crystal Palace. I remember he came up with a headed goal that got us to Wembley. Solid guy.
It wasn't Wimbledon, was it not?
It might have been. It might have been Wimbledon.
In the League Cup semis,
right?
I think it was, and it was the winning goal. Yeah, he only got 4 goals. Not like we've got a lot to choose from here. Yeah. 188 appearances, but only 4 goals.
Wow!
I'm just having a look here. Won the League Cup. Here we go. During his time at Filbert Street, the team won the League Cup in '97 with Grayson scoring the goal against Wimbledon, which put them in the final. And was voted the club's player of the season in the same year. So, yeah, it was Wimbledon and it was the League Cup, yes. So,
no, good point. I'm taking the credit that it was at Selhurst Park.
Well, that's the point, yeah. That is the point. We'll call that one a draw then, because I can understand that being confusing. But, yeah, a great servant for us. Like I say, 188 games. We got him from Leeds, actually, didn't we? And 188 games, 5 seasons with us before following Ryan Little to Aston Villa. So there we go. Another one you didn't get there, Craig. What can I say? Okay. So it's time for this. Now, I've got to admit here and put my hand up. We do the prediction show tomorrow night, guys, if you're watching, 7 o'clock. It's going to be a very short one. I don't believe for a minute it's going to be a very short one because you've got Brad and Dave on it. Usually they take some 3 hours to get through it. But they've only got 45 minutes and I'm cutting them off because we're doing the live watch along for the QPR Leeds game. But I can tell you, Craig, that you have gone back above me in the prediction league. Only by 2 points, don't get excited, but you are above me.
That's enough.
That's all you want. But Ollie, we'll come to you first as our guest. Can we have your score prediction, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go with a 3-1 Leicester win.
Really? Ooh. No confidence at all?
No confidence at all.
Wow. We've had that a few times this season, and when the fan has done that, we've usually lost, to be honest with you, so that's worried me.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah. Exactly. Craig, go on then.
So you say I'm above you in the league now?
Yes.
Yeah, feel free to go first then.
No. As a host, I always allow my guests to go first. Only because I can't remember what I sent to Brad earlier.
Yeah, I usually let my elders go first, but anyway. I'm going to go. I haven't put mine in yet, so they could change. I'm going to go 2-0 Leicester.
Wow. Well, I'm just checking what I've done here, and I'm just checking the actual table. Craig, you're on 303 with 41 correct predictions, as in the exact correct score. And you're in seventh. I'm in eighth with 302, so I'm 1 point behind you. With 41 correct things. So it is the proverbial duck's arse. And I've just checked what I've gone for. Sorry, Ollie, but I have gone for 3-0.
Okay.
I am feeling confident after the game the other week. But look, you know, you're not going anywhere because you will still be here next season. Who knows? The way this league's gone... I mean, when you're looking at the guy that's at the top of the league, he supports a Premier League club. That says it all, really, doesn't it? About how we got our predictions all wrong. So you will be here next season. We could still be here, couldn't we, Craig? You know,
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, one of the things that trophies we do win is to shoot yourself in the foot award. Regularly. But look. Good luck for next season, Ollie. Thanks very much for coming on. Like I say, I love Preston and I wish you all the best. Again, just give everybody a shout out as to where they can find you.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on, guys. My name's Ollie, obviously, from the Butter Pie podcast, Preston North End podcast. We're on all reputable streaming sites, so Spotify, Apple Music. And if you want to keep up to date with our socials, it's on Twitter or X at the Butter Pie Pod.
Brilliant. All the best, mate. Thanks very much for coming on.
Top stuff.
We may or may not see you next season. Who knows?
Well, for your hopes, I hope you don't. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. And then, next up, our last game. Can you believe we are talking about the last game of the season?
I know, it's been a long one, isn't it? And when you start thinking back to some of the early games, you think, Jesus, that seems a long, long time ago, some of those early games. But, you know, we're still there. We're still, it's all in our hands. You know, at the start of the season, I think we'd have all taken playoff spot. Mm. So to come into the last two games, knowing that, you know, one win out of the two will see us back in the Premier League, ready to accept our points deduction, then, you know, it's all good.
It's all good. I mean, for me, I think it's flown by. I can't believe it. It doesn't seem 5 minutes since we're all going, Enzo who? What do you mean he won the chat? You know, part of the team that won the Champions League? No, that's never going. We can't be having him. But hasn't it been fun? Winning again?
Winning again. Playing football without VAR, playing football where referees let tackles go. Yes. You know, there's no way that we would have won that game 5-0 against Southampton if it was a Premier League game. I don't believe it was a foul on Adams by Farse for the first goal, but it probably would have been given because he fell over. It definitely would have been ruled out because he was slightly offside. There would have been multiple yellow cards where I thought Bobby Madley refereed it really well.
He'd got a reputation having come down from the Premier League, obviously, to manage this. But look, we've had some decisions go against us. Leeds, Dacca's goal against Leeds that wasn't allowed. You know, had that gone in, we'd yeah. have been probably up by now. But for me, and I, you know, I was all for VAR because yeah. refereeing was so bad. But yes, referees get things wrong. Yes, linesmen right in front of them get things wrong. But you kind of accept it, having had all these years of VAR, you accept it as human error.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we all watched the Leeds and Middlesbrough where there was a, you know, it was a more offside than Fatawu was the other night. That was a clear offside, but he couldn't see it because Bamford was in his way. And even that, you know, that did cost them the game. It took them in 3-2 at half time. But I remember going into work the next day and saying, I'd still rather just not have VAR.
Exactly. You know,
I don't care. I don't care because, yeah, another cliche, it evens itself out. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but I don't care. The beauty of football has been rediscovered this season. You know, players playing football, players not diving and feigning injury, tackles being allowed, goal, ball hits the net, you look at the linesman, the flag's down, it's a goal. Just crack on. It's like football used to be, and I'm going to miss it.
Yeah, no, I when we spoke to the Southampton fan last week, if you remember, he said, yeah, if we don't go up, we'll have another great season in the Championship enjoying our football. And Dan from Burnley was, you know, he said they had a great season last season, you know, down in this league. He's, you know, he said, you'll enjoy it again. And the thing you said there that I've got to pick up on, which I agree 110% with, tackles are being allowed to be made.
I mean, you saw how aggressive Farse and Vestergaard were, particularly Farse against Shea Adams. As soon as the ball got anywhere near, he was straight through him. And the referee's like, play on, you know, get on with it.
Yes, yeah. No, I thought he did all right, Richard Madley, to be honest with you. I thought he started off badly, and I was saying that probably Richard Madley could have done better. But as the game progressed, you know, and we do judge very early, don't we, as football fans? But no, I think it's just been it's been a pleasure in a way being in this league. We go up. I mean, we will be having an end of season, you know, review and you know, all the presenters will be sort of, you know, picking their player of the season and all that. But. Had we not gone down, let's say somehow we'd stayed up on that last day, I think we'd have still been in the same position at the end of this season, the fact that we would be struggling.
I think we'd probably be struggling. It's difficult because when you analyse it, you know, there's not a great deal of difference between the styles of play, I think, between Rodgers and Maresca. I think Maresca's probably a little bit more demanding. He's definitely more demonstrative on the side of the pitch. I think he's got a clearer idea of how he wants to play, even though it is a little bit, shall we say, frustrating at times. Southampton, for me, was really pleasing in so many ways. Forget the 5-0. The fact, the style of play that we adopted, that we knew, you know, as soon as it turned out that we weren't going to have a lot of the ball, it was like, let's make the most of the ball that we do have. And we did it to great style. So, like, as I say, that gives me... Sorry?
Almost like a plan B.
Oh, well, almost, yeah. But the fact that that's probably how it's going to be in the Premier League next season. Less possession, but can we use the possession that we have better than we have when we have 60, 70% possession?
Yeah, and if we go up, of course, we keep Fatawu.
If we can do the deal, yeah, it would be nice. Yeah,
I think the EFL have put the transfer embargo on. I think we get the transfer embargo if we stay down, but we get the points deduction if we go up. I mean, you know,
I still don't even. I think if they wanted to challenge that transfer embargo, I'm sure they could, because basically you've got a transfer embargo for not breaking any rules.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would stand up in court if we challenged it.
And at the end of the day, look, you know, I think it was a case of they wanted to be seen to do something because you put a transfer embargo on when there's no transfer window.
Yeah, no transfer window, no rules been broken in the league that they're actually playing in. You know, I would think, you know, it's is about as, I would say, Football League, you have no authority here. You are the Jackie Weaver of the football world.
Yes. Right, Craig, thank you very much. I don't know if you're going up to Preston or not.
No, I'm not. Sadly, it's a bit of a long trip on a Monday night when, you know, I'm just too much needed at work. What can I say?
But you will be there the following Sunday, isn't it?
I will indeed. Yes, hopefully to see a few more fireworks go off and a trophy raised. That would be a lovely way to end the season. God,
honestly, but you know, like you say, at the start of the season, I was quite happy with Addison, and I said 7 or 8. You know, my head said, you know, and then we go up next season, you know, as a better squad, you know, this was before we all knew all this PSR shit. My head said, I wanted us to go up, obviously. And then when you're 17 points clear, you think we're going to walk this. And like you said to me the other day, you know, I'm talking about records and all sorts. Then it's just a case of we just want to go up. So to actually, it's amazing to say that we went through that dreadful patch, and yet here we are, we're still top, and it's still in our own hands.
Yeah, it was very kind of the other teams to drop off as well. It just shows that, you know, it happens to every team. You know, pressure comes, injuries come, fatigue comes. You know, as I said before, you know, for two out of the three teams, or include Southampton as well, it's a longer season than we've played for many, many a year. You know, more games than we've played for many, many years. So by the time we were hitting the wall, it's the equivalent of already having played a full Premier League season. Yeah. And then we hit the wall. But we've come through it. We've got those three home wins and they were critical. So now, hopefully, in the next two, we can get the job done.
Fingers crossed. Craig, thank you very, very, very much indeed.
You're very welcome, mate. I'll see you soon. Cheers, everyone.
Well, see you next Thursday, hopefully, for the Blackburn preview. Yeah. All the best, mate. Thank you. Cheers. Take care. Thanks to Craig there, my wise old owl. It has absolutely flown by this season. And I'll tell you what, the other thing is as well, I'm going to Australia in September, so there'll be like 5 weeks with no shows, so you can all enjoy the break. But that has just come so round so quickly as well. But I just said to Craig then, you know, from a season where we started, and I'm thinking, yes, give me 7th or 8th, and we build on it for next season. Catch you soon, Craig. And to go to then being so many points ahead that we're going to walk it, big headed, but when you're 17 points ahead, that's what you think is going to happen. To then going mad, because, and it's the expectations. When you do well, your expectations rise. You know, if we'd been mid-table and had an awful start and then had a good run, done it in the other way, if you like, we would have all probably been reacting differently to it. But we didn't. You know, it was the way it is. And to go to that, to now being still in with a chance, and it's in our own hands. We've got two games. We need 3 points. Two draws aren't going to be enough, so we can't go around. I know we've got Blackburn who are fighting for their lives, Preston who are, if you like, on the beach, nothing to play for, but that can be dangerous in itself because they can just relax and it doesn't matter. It's a free hit for them. But we're Leicester. We're never going to do it evening. John, who's just coming at the end, says, evening, you boys are nearly there. Let's hope we win tomorrow. In London. Hope you win tomorrow. Oh, you're obviously a Leeds fan. It's just mad how many teams have got so many points, and yet there's only going to be two teams with 90 points that are going to go up. Two teams could have 90 points and not go up. But do come back to us on Monday evening at 7:15 for the Match Day Live. Preview and team news from 7:15. The watch-along for the first half, the half-time assessment, the watch along for the second half and then the post-match reaction as well. That's all going to happen on Monday night. So there is no Let's Talk Leicester on Monday. Depending how it goes, there might be a review on the Tuesday as well. And don't forget, coming up on the 14th of May, two fans down the pub. Looking forward to that with Craig, who's a Bournemouth fan. We're going to be down our local and we are going to be talking rubbish as we always do. But don't forget, tomorrow night, we have got the Prediction League. That's at 7 o'clock. I have asked Brad and obviously with Dave as well if they can close it off by 7:45 because we have got the match day live, QPR against Leeds. I'm going to be covering it because it's going to have such an effect on us. I think Leeds will win. I really do. QPR, they're fighting for their lives, but they're not consistent at the moment. I can't see anything other than a Leeds win, but then I'm absolutely shit at predictions, so who knows. Then this is a harder one. Hull, who beat Coventry 3-2 in a hard-fought game the other night, are playing Ipswich. And I'll be doing a watch-along for that as well, Saturday night, that one. Both of those at 7:45. So there you go. Thank you very much, everybody. I really appreciate it. If you've been in the chat, I thank you very much for being in and joining in. Thanks to Ollie. His details are below. I love Preston as a club. Really nice, welcoming club. Still want to beat them, of course. And, of course, Craig as well for the penultimate time this season on the review show as well. If you've been listening via your favourite podcast platform, we thank you for doing that as well. I would ask you to do one thing, if you can, do before you go.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel now and make sure you never miss another upload.
Yes, subscribe and also like as well. Click that like button. Thank you very much. It does keep the channel going. I'll be back tomorrow night, 7:45. Take care. And thanks as well if you've been listening via your favourite podcast platform. Nearly forgot that one. See you all. Thanks very much, guys. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.